This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an OTI member. Most of my adult life, I've been sober curious or looking to go AF or doing stints of going alcohol free, but they would never stick. I think the reason they didn't stick was because there was lack of community or peer support. So once I found out about OTI and the community, I had to join straight away. Joining the OTI community has been the best alcohol free decision I've ever made. It's such a fun, safe space to share your alcohol free wins. There's always someone to give advice or celebrate with you. So if you're sober curious, come and join the fun at OTI. You won't regret it. It's a game changer.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. It is lovely to have you here. A quick recap as to who we are if you are just tuning in for the very first time. If you are doing that, actually, fill your boots, go back. You've got around, I don't know, 60, 70 episodes, something like that. Absolutely stacks of alcohol-free inspiration. Go back to series one, episode one, fill your boots. If you are tuning in for the first time, my name is Sharon Hartley. Call me Shaz, call me Shazza. I think now I have officially hit 3.5 years alcohol-free. It's happened. It's incredible. It will never not cease to surprise me and make me smile. It is wonderful. To cut a very, very long story short, I used to be a daily drinker, you know, need a glass of wine at the end of a busy day, which turned into a bottle of wine at night, and then some more at the weekends. And it was just becoming a bit of a boring pain in the arse. So I thought, let's have a break from alcohol. And here we are, 3.5 years later. Miracles do indeed happen. I don't do this on my own. As you know, we have got Freddie, my glamorous co-host, my tanned co-host in New Zealand. Morning, love.
Good morning, love. My name is Freddie. I'm here in New Zealand. I am coming up to 3 years alcohol-free, which is very exciting. I used to be the work hard, play hard, all or nothing, go hard, go home, heavy drinker. But then I decided to change my drinking habits and a whole world of wonder opened up before me. And this is one of those brilliant episodes where, you know how I like to pretend I've done some athletic stuff in the past and then we get a proper athlete on the show. And this is one of those ones where I try and tell myself that I was funny in the past and then we have a proper comedian on the show. So I'm going to retreat into the background and learn my place. But I'm very, very excited about today. I think it's going to be one of our classic episodes.
Fabulous. Thank you, Freddie. And of course, we've got Ben. We've dropped the background now. It is Ben, producer Ben, who is very alcohol-free. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. Yeah, I was background Ben because I was only have space to stay in the background because I was a drinker when I started producing this podcast. Realised actually my relationship with alcohol wasn't as good as I thought it was, listening to Shaz and Freddie talk about their experiences of alcohol-free life. I decided to give it up for 3 months. I thought, I'm going to have a break. I'm going to have a reset. I'm going to change my relationship with alcohol. Fully intended to go back to drinking again, albeit I was hoping it'd be different and I wouldn't be kind of drinking for stress as much as I was. Look, long story short, I'm over 18 months alcohol-free now. Life's never been better. I love being alcohol-free and I'm one of those people that can say life's better without it and I don't think I'm ever going to drink again. It really has changed my life. And dead excited about today's guest. Shaz, are you doing the big introduction?
Yeah, yes, I will. When I say big introduction, it's going to be a one-line introduction, I think. Not a one-liner, because I am not funny. However, we're dead excited today about introducing our guest to you. He's a comedian. He's called Russell Hicks. And I'm just going to read a line, if you don't mind, Russell, from an email reply that you sent me, because I was like, who are you? Where are you? What do you do? And you replied, I'm in Hertfordshire, but I'm an American, an expat, ex-drunk, the best kind. Let's go from there. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast, Russell. It's lovely to have you here. Although you're not in Hertfordshire right now, you are in a budget hotel room.
Yes, I thought that would, I'm in a budget hotel. I mean, it's, do we want to give him any advertising? I don't know. Let's just, let's say this. There's someone staying here that we know who is in a room right now with windows that are spray painted. And he asked the people at the front desk, why are the windows spray painted? And they said, because if you want windows, it's extra.
No. Wow.
So that's the kind of quality.
Diggo.
But that's where I am right now. And it's great to be here. All right. We're all sober. As you heard, this is going to go down. This may be one of the best podcast episodes that's ever been recorded.
Russell, thank you so much for joining us. It is a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Let's go back to before the time you described yourself as an expat ex-drunk. Where did it all begin for you? And just tell us a bit about yourself and your story. And then
I've got almost, I think, 13 years in August.
Wow.
And I stopped, yeah. I remember I stopped what I thought was late. I was 26 and I quit. I remember I drank and it wasn't until I started stand up. And I remember just thinking, you know, that it was becoming like I sort of realized if I learn how to do stand up while I'm drunk, I knew I was going to have to quit drinking. I was already at that point where I was like, I don't think this is my thinking at the time was. It's not cute anymore once you hit a certain age. So it's like, it's kind of fun in your 20s, but I knew like by the time you hit 30, I think it just starts to become less adorable, if it ever was. So I was like, by 30, I'm going to quit. And when I started stand up, I was like, well, if I learn to do this now drunk, which I've seen other comedians quit drinking 10 years in, and they said it's like having to learn it all over again because their brain is used to and has been trained to do stand up through that sort of mindset. And so I didn't want to have to do that again. So I remember thinking that the whole time. And then it was about like 6 months in. I just remember I would go on stage. I wasn't very funny when I was drunk. And I had this one night. And this was I met Charlie who does, is it Young and Sober?
Yes, Charlie Martina. First episode
so
was
I was
last
on
week,
in Liverpool
actually.
At the Hot Water Comedy Club. And I just started improvising about having quit drinking. And I mentioned that the last time I drank, I shit my pants. And I said, has anyone else in here, like, what's the worst thing you got? Because I started drinking gin for some reason toward the end. And I remember I was on a podcast, actually. The last day I drank, I recorded a podcast, and I don't even remember recording it. And the gin was coming out. And the next thing I know, I woke up the next day, and I had shit my pants. And I just thought, well, you know, I think I've achieved all I wanted to with drinking. So I was like, when you're a grown man, I mean, even sober, when you're a grown up and shit your pants, it's, you just can't believe it. There's really no excuse for it.
It's an unfortunate claim to fame, isn't it? Well, you know, we've all been there. When you get that brown medal, it's
have we, Freddie? Have we all been there?
Yeah. But I remember like throwing that out there and the club just kind of staring at me like, did you just say that? I was like, anybody else had an experience like that? And Charlie, bless her heart, was like, yeah, I shit my pants once. And I was like, well, great. And that was it.
And then she's great, Charlie. She turned 24 last week. And she came on the first episode we did with Charlie. We've done a couple of episodes with her now. But was she 22 when we first met Charlie and she was considering giving
possibly.
Up booze?
Possibly, yeah.
Like really, really early doors. I mean, 26, Russell's pretty young to decide to give up alcohol. Like,
yeah, I look back on it now and I think I'm kind of proud of myself that it's funny when you're young, you think you're old. And then I've noticed, like, I've always, like, when you get older, that's, you start to say you're young, you know, that's how you can tell where you're at in the timeline. But I remember thinking I had done everything really late, but I look back and I'm like, no, 26 is a pretty good time to give it up.
Russell, I'm just looking back at our email exchange. It all makes horrific sense now because you mentioned the email that Charlie saw me on stage and about how both of us stopped shitting our pants and got sober. I thought it was to do with the fear. I thought it was the fear of getting sober.
No.
It literally was shitting
your
pants,
literally
wasn't it?
Shitting in our
pants. My bad. My mistake.
Yeah, no. And it was really cool. She came up to me afterward and talked to me about it. And I think, like, the biggest thing for me was it freed up so much time because You know, what I noticed is in America, you have to, everything's really spread out. Like I started in California and you have to drive to all the different comedy clubs. So geographically, it's just very spread out. And so the guys that drank, because comedians can be really susceptible to substance abuse. I don't know if it's like coming down from the high of performance or we're addicts by nature. Hence the reason we get so, you know, the endorphins from laughs or whatever. But they would do one spot and then they would stay there and drink. And what happened to me is I realized right before I quit drinking that the drinking was stopping me from putting energy into the stand-up. Because once you start drinking, then you just start hanging out at the one club. And you couldn't go around and do two or three or four spots, which make you a better comedian in the beginning. And it's like, it's all energy that you give to it. And it's like if you took a pie chart and you were like, you're giving energy and time to drinking. And when you remove that, there's a vacuum that has to be filled with something. And for most of us, being an addict is actually a gift. I don't even know that, you know, we say we have addictive behavior, but I actually think that behavior is something more positive that we actually channel into addictive behavior. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know that it's necessarily addictive behavior to begin with. I think it's a laser-like focus. It's sort of an obsessive focus that when we misuse it, it can be channeled into addiction. And then it's like, well, I can't just have some alcohol. I got to drink all the alcohol in the world. And then when you claim it back and you put it into something constructive, it's a pretty powerful force.
It's so easy, I think, with addiction. And we've all, you know, we've all been in those shitting the pants moments. And let's face it, when either literally or metaphorically, but you've all had those moments where we wake up and we think, ah, no, that, yay, found a new rock bottom. Brilliant. And or a pooey bottom. That's another one for you. But we say, we could easily feel sorry for ourselves and say, yeah, what's wrong with me? What, you know, why am I broken? Why can't I control my drinking habit? All these negative things. But I think you're totally right. People who have got that addictive nature, the people who haven't got an off switch, it is an absolute strength. If we can work out how to harness that energy in the right way, I think it's, you're right, it's truly amazing how many talented show people, CEOs, actors can all have this part of them that means they want to go crazy and they want to drink. But if we can focus that attention, then the world really is our oyster.
I think so, yeah. If you get addicted to something positive, then it's a constructive force in your life. And there's like a feedback loop that, you know, you can get into where I found the first 30 days. I think the thing that freaked me out when I went, oh, wow, is when I stopped and found it really difficult. That was when I was like, oh, whoa. I remember about 2 weeks in getting a little bit really freaked out, thinking like, I don't think I can stop for 30 days. And then once I made it to that 30 days, it got a lot easier. That's what I tell anybody who quits now. I'm like, look, that first 30 days is going to be tough. But once you, if you can get there, I think you'll that's some serious time. You'll be on to something. Because I think after like about 2 weeks, it can start knocking on your door. Like, you know, you really figure out whether or not this is something that is against your will or not. And it's just amazing because like once you, it's like all of a sudden you're not hungover anymore. And you realize that you don't know what to do in the morning. I didn't know what to do in the morning. My mornings were all about waking up, barely getting my feet moving, and then, I don't know, go to work and sleep in the break room or whatever. And then you get all this time back, and then you just got to fill it with something. And you can get into all kinds of stuff. I don't know. Reading. I mean, for me, it was stand-up. Stand-up came into my life right at the right moment because I just completely filled it with stand-up. And that was it. And there's no way I would have worked as hard if I'd been drinking at the exact same time. I just couldn't manage both.
How does it go down with other comedians, Russell? Because we talk about how every industry is soaked in booze. But I think your industry is one of the very few where you can literally get away with it with a drink in hand. Do you know what I mean? You can be doing your job on stage, and because the audience are all there drinking, it's a nighttime occupation.
Yeah.
They wouldn't bat an eyelid if you're actually standing there doing your job with a pint or doing your job with a vodka lemonade or whatever it is. I've got a friend who's a comedian, and I know that it's an incredibly tight-knit community, especially in the kind of UK circuit.
Yeah.
Like, did it stop you from building relationships within that community of other comedians? Did people look at you and go, what do you mean? You're sober? What?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're totally right about how you can drink. I mean, it's our sports supplement, you know, like the way like an athlete treats a Gatorade or, you know, creatine or something, like that's comedians can drink on stage. Totally accepted. Did it affect the relationships? I remember being in Los Angeles and hanging out with some comedian friends. And one of my friends said to me, he just stopped in the middle of hanging out because we were all out and they were all drunk. And he was like, I just realized Russell's sober and none of us have, it's not weird or anything. And he was just like blown away. And you could almost see it like affecting him. Like he was starting to think like, wow, like you can do that. Because for most people, and I get it, when you drink, it's impossible to think about going out without doing it. And it was just like he had this moment where he was like, I just can't believe it. Russell's sober and he's still hanging out. And I remember he gave me a great compliment. He's like, you know, it's like, I can't even tell you're not like, it's not weird or anything. You're hanging out, you're having fun, you're enjoying yourself and you're not drinking. Most people, if they go out and they're just dry sober and they're used to drinking, they just kind of like can be like a dry drunk and just be all glum in the corner or something. I mean, lucky for me, I'm like a bit of a loner anyway. So it's like, maybe I don't go to that third after party. And you know what? If you weren't hammered, you probably wouldn't want to go to that third after party either. So I hang out. Like last night I was hanging out with a bunch of people who were drinking. I was having a great time. What happens is you kind of just go home when a human would go home. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll be out hanging out with comics till 4 o'clock in the morning. But mostly like so a lot of comedians, when they hang out with me, they'll kind of like they'll really trip out on it. They'll be like, you just don't drink anything. You know, some of them can't believe it. And then they end up being a little bit, maybe they get a little bit sober just by hanging out. They'll be like, well, I'm gonna not drink. And I don't know.
I love what Ben's touched on there about the industry you're in, but I want to pick up on fun and laughter and having a ball and comedy, because when people stop drinking, and I was one of these people, Russell, you know, I used to be the joker, the village idiot, the dick dancing on the tables. Oh, Shaz will come out, she'll make us laugh, you know, she'll get absolutely rat arse first to fall asleep though, first to go home, first to throw up and all the rest of it. And when I sort of face the prospect of a life, not that it started out being a lifelong thing, it was just going to be a 30-day break and then a 90-day break, I thought, shit, will I ever laugh again? Oh, my God, will my friends think I'm funny? Oh, dear God, I could never have a fun social life. And yet here we are. I'm 3.5 years down the line. You're 12, 13 years alcohol-free. I swear to God, I have never laughed as much. And there's nothing quite like laughter when you're sober. Because it's real. It comes from the belly. And when you're crying with laughter, it's real tears of laughter. And I'd never experienced that before. I was always, you know, three sheets to the wind. And I think you're a great example of, my God. I mean, you do stand-up comedy, for God's sake. You know, it's fun. It's funny. It's a night out. You're making people laugh. And yet you're doing all this sober.
Yeah. And when you do stand-up, like, there's this theory that you have. People think I'm drunk and on drugs. So
How'd you say that?
Like, people come up to me and they offer me all this stuff because they're like, you are clearly under the influence of so many narcotics. And I'm like, no. And that just blows people's minds. They're like, you're sober. Yeah. Because actually, if you're a professional stand-up, like, it makes more sense to a comedian. Of course you're sober. Like, when you're up there on a Friday night and you're doing 30 minutes, you got to be sharp.
That's your job. That's what you're being paid to do, isn't it?
Yeah. And you have to be kind of the highest level of consciousness in the room. You have to be in the room, you know, absorbing everything. And look, maybe for some people they can maneuver it. But I mean, for the most part, I've never really, even the stand-up comedians who used to drink a lot and do a lot of drugs, they'll tell you that they perceived it as more of a benefit than it was. It's the kind of thing where your senses need to be on, but you do need to be relaxed. But you need to be relaxed, but taking in everything in the room. And it's, if you dull any of those senses, you're kind of kidding yourself that it's making you a better performer.
How does your kind of sober content, you said that, you know, the gig you did where Charlie was at it in Liverpool last week, you were improvising about being sober. Like, stand-up comedy, it's, I've always admired stand-up comedians in terms of kind of the connection that you have to build with an audience. Like, they are there, the whites of their eyes, they are looking at you and they're going, make me laugh. I have paid for you to make me laugh. And it is about kind of building connections with them and obviously kind of being relatable and talking about things that we can all laugh at because we all understand that. And yeah, I've no, like, how does it work when you're doing sober content? Because you imagine that a lot of the audiences are drinking whilst watching you. Did you ever worry that it might affect that?
What, that I'm sober?
That you're sober and, when you talk about sober content, for example, on stage.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't like, I mean, British people especially, they sort of like, it's like when they come up to me afterward and they're like, oh, mate, you're so funny. Like, let me get you a drink, yeah? And then I go, yeah, soda and lime. And they look at me like they don't know what to do now. And they just back away slowly. Like, I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, if I bring up the fact that I don't drink on stage, there is a little bit in the room like, oh, okay, what do we do now? It's like everybody kind of turns around like, I thought this guy was one of us, but... You know, I just sort of, if you just deliver it, you know, your whole perspective, you just deliver it with confidence and say that's the way it is. People don't really believe me anyway. I think like I said, when they find out, they just assume, you know, but it doesn't, I think a lot of people are curious about it. I think especially in a room full of people drinking, it's an interesting dynamic because I'll go on late at night in some of these London clubs and you can feel the room is just... hammered. But you know, it's almost like if you want to appreciate your life, like if you have a good life, like I get to do stand-up, it's incredible, and I always tell people around me that if they take it for granted, I'm like, look, just on a Monday, you know, go walk around and remember these office jobs that you used to have. Nothing against people who work in an office, but I'm saying, you know, you look at someone, you look at a younger person who's working in an estate agent or something like that, and I'm not trying to denigrate estate agents, but I'm just saying.
That was me, Russell. I was that young man. I was an estate agent.
Yeah, I used to work in offices, and I'm saying it's a privilege. I think the same thing if you want to, I'm not looking down on anyone, but if you want to remember why you're sober, just walk around London in like 2 a.m., and go, oh, that guy peeing on that guy was me. That's what I love about stand-up is, like, I go to work. That was the other thing. And I think, like, if anyone can take anything from that, not everyone can be a comic. But you learn that your life sort of, like, it adapts to – it's so natural for me. I realized, like, yes, this is so much more my style. Now, it's a beautiful thing. My Monday morning is Friday night. So I'm going to work while everyone – is going to the bar. And that is exactly the way that I want to relate to the world. Like, I'm still out, but I'm like getting to be out on my terms. I'm working. There's a reason for me to be sober. So I've filled that time. Because I think a lot of people probably, the biggest problem they have is they go, is I'm talking about the void of time being a boon to them. And they're going, yeah, I have a, once Friday night comes, that is tough. You used to go out on Friday, you did go out on, and now it's like, now it's just vacant and you don't know what to do. But if you stick with it, your life will mold around that and it will become, your schedule will change. And you might stop hanging out with some of the people you hung out with, but then again, you might realize that that was holding you back and maybe that wasn't where you want to be, you know?
Yeah, I literally was that guy in London as well who was in a suit, not happy with my life, thinking surely I'm destined for more than this. Nothing against people with office jobs as well, because it's a great life for a lot of people and they love it. But when you're there drinking every night, just to kind of tell yourself you're having a good time, but really it's because you know you're quite sad inside, then I think it takes a lot of courage. It's almost, I'm trying to crowbar in a metaphor here around, it's about stepping on stage into the spotlight on the stage of your life, which is what I really believe it is.
Let's be honest, Freddie. It's like when you shit your pants. I feel like that's what you want.
It really is.
Russell, you said something earlier about being on stage, doing kind of sober improvisation or whatever, and you deliver it with confidence. I think you're the perfect person to ask this question to, bearing in mind that this is what you do. You know, you, as a comedian, you're delivering your stuff, but also it's a live environment. You're confronting people. People are shouting out. And you know, I think a lot of people, when they go sober, they're really worried about those first interactions that they have with people. When people start to question them on it, they've decided themselves, I want to be alcohol free for whatever reason. For me, it could be I'm doing it for 100 days. It could be actually I've decided I'm going to be alcohol free forever. This is what I need to do for me. But those first kind of conversations, whether it's with family, partners, friends, that random bloke you haven't seen for ages, he just happens to appear at the 40th birthday party or whatever, someone questions you on it. What do you mean you're alcohol-free? What are you doing that for? A lot of people freeze and suddenly go, I don't know. What would your tips be for delivering with confidence? Because I think that's such a nice phrase.
Oh, yeah.
Phrase.
That's completely normal. I get that. Like 3 times a week, someone say, I'll get you a drink. I don't drink. And you get some version of like, why? Ugh. And you get some kind of like, some sort of weirdness. And to feel, I think people are probably a little too hard on themselves. They feel like, oh, I'm a little bit scared to admit I don't drink, or I feel a little bit weird about it. That is normal to feel a little uncomfortable, because in the context of your environment, it's kind of like a bit weird or something. But that's only because of the people you're surrounded by. They can make you feel that way. So first of all, just that is normal. You know, I've had people go, well, never mind then. You know, they get angry at me. Like they go, well, then never mind. And I go, all right, then don't get me a drink. I don't know. Or, you know, like they get weird about it. I don't know. So I would just say that, just say it. I don't drink. And then if they go, why? I would just go, because it's bad for you, you know? And then just sort of let that hang and be like, I don't know, I just quit. Or I find what's really effective, if you want them to go away immediately, look them right in the eye and say, because I shit my pants.
There you go. I was going to ask you that.
And then just leave it. And if you can actually in that moment shit your pants, I find that to be. There's nobody that's going to argue that. And then just let them do what they want after that. But I think that's totally normal. Like, the other thing to remember is that in my experience, people also, they kind of envy it. They think it, you don't get that many people who go, oh, weird. They're like, oh. You know, like you're kind of like, genuinely, when you get weird reactions, like family and stuff like that, being like, what the hell? Man, 9 times out of 10, 5 years down the line, the guy that was giving you shit for that, he quits drinking. This has been my experience. I get that all the time. Someone who was like, why? 2 years later, that guy's sober. So it's like people, you should just kind of own it. Just own it completely. And just get used to I think it goes with people pleasing. You know, I think people who have addictive behavior, we can sometimes, you know, we can be subject to a lot of stuff. I mean, we can people please because it's like, it takes practice, but just get used to disappointing them. Just say, I don't. Those are the facts. And it's going to make you uncomfortable, but that's it. And then after a while, you get over it. I mean, you hear it so many times, you know.
I was just going to say that. I mean, you've been answering this question, I get now, for more than 10 years. So at first, you know, it really, really annoyed me that people would, why are you doing it? For what reason? You know, have you got a problem? It's like, oh, just leave me to it. And that's, you know, been going on now for 3.5 years. I imagine it continues. You've been doing this for more than a decade. But it's how you handle it, isn't it? And like you say, just put it and just be honest. And
As a comedian, I just tried to come up with, I genuinely tried to think of, like, what's the wildest, like, so I looked up all these cocktails at one point, like, that are, like, you could get. And then I'll just tell someone, because I got so tired, or they'd be like, what do you want to be like, a Diet Coke? And they would just go, so I'd go, all right, get me a Virgin Harvey Wallbanger. And they'd be like, okay. And that just kind of, you know what I mean? It's a non-alcoholic beverage, but it's like some wild cocktail. At least it gives them something fun to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's totally normal when you're just like, yeah, I know as soon as you stop drinking, you've got to now, there's all these people in your life, you've got to be like, okay, I don't actually drink anymore. And here's the thing, the cool ones, the ones that you probably want to keep in your life will be like, that's cool, man, totally. And the ones that you'll let fall by the wayside are the ones that are going to give you the most shit for it. And those are probably the ones who need to quit too, to be totally honest. Like, I don't force it on anybody, but that's my experience.
I read something on social media yesterday, and I can't remember what it was, one of the many sober Insta accounts I followed. And it said something like, if you're questioning your own relationship with alcohol, look at your own reaction when other people say they don't drink. So, you know, I can think back to when I was in the height of my drinking. If anybody dared come out and wasn't drinking, what do you mean you're not drinking? What's wrong with you? Oh my God, that was me. That was me. And I would, you know, judge other people through my own drinking only because I need to, you know, reassess my own relationship with drinking. And I just thought it was a really interesting way of looking at things. Now, nowadays, you know, if you're part of the little sober club, bring it on. It's the best place to be.
Yeah, that, you know what, actually, you just reminded me, that is really annoying. So I would say to people listening who have a problem with that, because the way you just did that, that is exactly, that is probably my least favorite reaction, was, what do you mean you're not drinking?
Yeah.
They make a big deal of it. And I know it's hard, but that person who's doing that is an asshole. And you don't want to be around that person. That is so annoying when people do that. I hate that. What do you mean you're not drinking? Blah, blah, blah. They make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just know when that happens that annoys. You're not the only person that is annoying. It's kind of bullying. And
it's horrible. It's horrible.
Just get through it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not nice. I used to really,
because it happens to me
really
all the time,
people.
And it's obnoxious and yeah.
Never to
Who
repeat
responds
it?
Like that? You wouldn't be like, do you want some chili sauce on that? No, I'm good. What do you mean you want chili sauce? Oh, fuck. Like,
absolutely. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. I feel really bad about that.
Used to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh. I used to judge people.
No.
So did I.
What do you mean you're not drinking tonight? Those words have definitely come out of my mouth before.
Yeah.
See, I think I would have been like, I probably was more like the type of alcoholic who would be like, do you want some of these beers? And they'd be like, no, I'm not drinking. And I'd be like, oh, good. More for me. I don't know. Well, but see that? There you go, Sharon. I'm so surprised to hear that you would do that, because what a lovely person you are with the, you know, without the booze in you.
Thank you. Well,
I can't imagine you doing that.
I wouldn't be like right up in somebody's face doing it. But if somebody was out in the group who wouldn't be drinking, I would be like, oh, for God's sake, what do you mean? And I remember somebody once saying to me, have you ever considered not drinking? And I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. No, it was my entire identity. And I look back and, yeah, it wasn't particularly nice. I was a bit of an arse when I was when I was drunk. But I think I'm much nicer these days.
Ross, you've done almost the impossible on this show, which is provide entertainment and education. So that's a nice dose of edutainment for us all. In my 3 years of sobriety, I'd never before realised the connection between alcohol and people pleasing. And that was quite a bombshell for me, to be honest, because we always know that the stereotype of, you know, we drink because we're the entertainer, or because we don't have an off switch, or because we're the life and soul of the party. I know that's all kind of linked, but I never thought about it before, that we, those of us who do have that addictive mindset, are also people pleasers, that we, I count myself in this.
Yeah.
I hate saying no. I hate letting people down. Ironically, that's what I always used to do when I'd be drinking. And I think it's such a crazy thing.
Yeah, I think it's like, I read a lot about that. You know, this, I remember when I was doing stand-up, I moved to Los Angeles, I moved to Hollywood, And I got like my confidence sort of plummeted because it was very intimidating. I mean, you're a young comedian and you're thrown right into the belly of the biggest, the entertainment hub of the world. And people are just the status, and it can really get to you. You're on Sunset Boulevard where Richard Pryor used to perform. And I remember I went to the library and I found this book, and the book has kind of a cheesy title, but it's called Complete Confidence. And I loved this book, you know, and again, this is, I'm sober. And so I have tons of time. And so I would go to the library and I would just read. And like, I remember I found this book and it was brilliant. It was just this one day at the library and it changed a lot for me. And in that book, it said that there was a connection between a lack of confidence and people pleasing. And one of the things of people pleasing is like you're sort of like, it's like, it's the same way with booze. It's like you're trying to escape. It's all connected to self-esteem. So if you get drunk, it's almost like you're trying to escape yourself. So there's a sort of a self-loathing in there a bit. And I think that with people pleasing, it's like you want to be agreeable in their eyes because you're sort of, because a lot of your approval is kind of based on the opinion of others or something. So it takes you're very isolated when you say no. Because now you have now it's just you, and you have to stand with your own principles. And I think if you don't have a lot of confidence in yourself, that can be a terrifying thing to be like, it's just me saying that. And so I think that people who drink a lot, probably, maybe not everybody, but I would say that you're beating on yourself and you're trying to escape yourself. So there's self-esteem issues lying underneath that. And just because you stop drinking doesn't necessarily mean that that stuff totally goes away. It definitely is a step in the right direction. But I think it's an opportunity when it comes to saying, I don't drink anymore. I think that's a beautiful opportunity to claim this extra level of confidence, to say, I don't drink, and I'm just going to disappoint you on that. And that's the way it is. And just let it hang. And it's kind of like it's like anything else. It'll be tough for like the first 5 or 6 times, and then it'll get easier. And then before you know it, you'll be doing it on autopilot.
I feel you're talking to me on this podcast today.
Am I?
Yeah.
Why? Do you have a hard time telling people you don't drink?
At first, yeah, because it was me. It just defined who I was. I thought that's who I was, that I needed to be a loud drunken dick. And when I removed it, I just thought, oh my God, how am I, you know, like I come back to before, how am I ever going to have fun again? Who am I? And yet, bit by bit, this confidence has come back because, you know, when people say, why did you drink? Why did you drink? I drank for confidence, to be loud. You never needed that. You never needed that. And I always thought I did. And when I've removed it, turns out I didn't after all. But it's taken a long time to become braver and more confident and to be able to say now, no, I don't drink and I don't give a shit who it offends anymore. I don't care.
Yeah, because I think we're really hard on ourselves. And I think part of it also is that, let's say you're like last night, I'm with like 5 other people and it's like, what do you want? Whiskey. What do you want? Rum. What do you want? What do I want? And then it goes and goes and goes. And then the record scratch when it gets to peppermint tea. But see, now if I feel uncomfortable about that, that's normal. That's okay. If I do, now I'm used to it. But if you do, the problem then comes where people like us, we tend to then shame ourselves for feeling so bad about it. Like, why aren't I confident enough to say that I don't drink? And then that becomes this other level of, you're just beating yourself up again. And so I think podcasts like this are really helpful because the first thing you need to know is that it's okay. Yeah. That is normal. We all... If you're in a room, if you're with 6 other people and everyone's getting shots and then it gets to you and you go, cup of warm milk, it's okay. We all feel a little uncomfortable. It's not a big deal. Like, don't worry about it. And then just, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're also just a little hard on ourselves with that, so.
But this is why we do what we do. This is why this podcast exists, because so many people are scared about trying alcohol-free life. So many people think life is going to stop and we just want to sing sing from the rooftop. Share the shit bits as well. Not literally, Russell, in your case, where you did actually shit yourself.
Yes.
But we want to talk about it all.
We'll be back to that again.
Well, but there's so many great people who are sober, too. I think that really helps, is to like look at all these people in history, like great artists and stuff. There's some that are kind of they were sober. And it's a rebellious act. I mean, it's in our society, it kind of is. It's a way to be. It's a unique thing, you know? I remember, you know, Frank Zappa, the guitar player?
Yeah.
As mad as that guy was, he was totally teetotal. He was completely teetotal.
But it's until you start talking about it and having conversations and more people becoming vocal about sobriety, you're like, oh my God, you mean you are as well? And you, and you, and oh my God. And here we are now talking to you. Who'd have known? You
know, cool people don't drink.
There you go.
Look at Freddie. Look at this bleached blonde hair.
Shining white teeth.
Shining white. Blinding me. I had to turn the brightness down on my monitor.
He's got abs everywhere as well. He's not just
abs for days.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Literally everywhere. He's got arm abs. He's got leg abs.
Yep.
He's got, yeah. In fact, we can't quite see because the camera's a bit blurry, but there's a couple of abs on his forehead.
Yeah.
Abs everywhere.
It's that alcohol free magic. What can I say?
Russell, I've loved hearing you speak about confidence because I think it's there's a difference, isn't there, between kind of fake confidence and real confidence. And when I was drinking, I looked around my friendship group and I wasn't the cleverest. I wasn't the best looking. I wasn't the best on the sports field. I wasn't the best musician. I wasn't really the best at anything in my friendship group. But I thought that actually I could be the funniest. Like I could make people laugh. And I remember I used to drink to give me that confidence to say the things that kind of push it a little bit and take it to the edge and say things that would make people laugh that are a bit outrageous. And, oh, you can't say that. And then if it didn't go very well, then I could always blame the booze. And, oh, sorry, I was pissed. I shouldn't have said that. And I kind of built I thought that gave me the confidence to be the person I wanted to be. Actually, giving up alcohol is when you find that real confidence. And when you go, actually, look at this thing. I've done this consecutively every day for over 18 months now. And that's what's given me confidence. I think, you know, your job, it's so in the public eye and it's so demanding as well. And I think, you know, like you're saying, you're meeting people every night after these gigs who wanted to buy you a drink and they're literally confronting you with alcohol because that's the thing you do. I've enjoyed what you've done. Let me buy you a drink, mate. It's in a very nice way. It's not in an aggressive way. It's because they like you and they've enjoyed what you've done.
Yeah.
But you're literally being confronted with that every night. And I think to hear how you've built the confidence to say, no, actually, I don't drink and do it so publicly is going to be fabulous for people listening to this. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. It reminds me of like there's some comedians who I know, famous comedians. I think even Dave Grohl might do this as a musician, but they don't take photos with fans and they don't take photos. And that sounds very aggressive. But I think that we live in such an age right now where it's all about a photo with me, with you. And what they do instead, I've heard a few people say this, is they go, I'm not taking a photo with you. Now, immediately, that's disappointing someone. And that can be a little awkward. But what they then do is go, but what I am going to do is I'll talk to you for like 2 minutes. So I'm going to give you a much better experience. So I think you can look at it that way. You know, like, I don't know, like with what I do, it's like, okay, no, I'm not going to drink with you. But here, we'll do something else. You figure out other ways to connect with people and other ways to, and sometimes, you know, like if they're just like, no, I just want to drink. Well, then you're like, I probably wouldn't want to hang out with you anyway. So I don't know. It's like you find new ways to connect and new, you know, the roadmaps that aren't necessarily there because not that many people, because everyone's so used to just, this is how we socialize. But,
and
yeah.
It's real. Sorry, Freddie, go on.
No, I was going to say, we always talk about Twister on the podcast. You know, we say that maybe I won't have a drink with you, but we'll play a game of Twister or something like that. And there's a growing demand for me and Ben to play naked Twister.
Why naked? Why is it always naked Twister?
Well, it's these guys with abs. You know, they get any chance they get to rip it off.
Seriously.
I bet you Freddie's always regularly pretending to spill things on his shirt when he's hanging out with you guys, isn't
yeah.
Oh, he got a little sauce.
Oh,
whoopsie-daisy, got a little spaghetti sauce on the old V-neck.
Oh, rip it off again.
And we're like, Freddie, yeah, but why did you have to shred it? Couldn't you have just taken it on? rip.
Russell, I want to talk for another hour about confidence and about the reasons we drink and about how it changes and about being brave and just going for it and not giving a shit. And there's so much else to talk about, and it's been a real pleasure. And also, at the risk of sounding a bit fangirly, really want to come and see your stand-up gig live.
I think you guys should come out.
We should have an OTI team night out, because we've got an online community as well, overtheinfluence.co.uk, if you're wondering where that is. And everybody's always up for big events, for nights out. And what can we do? What can we do? Stand-up comedy, coming to see Russell Hicks.
The comedy clubs will love it if I bring all the Over the Influence out. They'll say, wow, the bar sales were absolutely
seriously
nil.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing, I want to do some shows around 3 or 4, though, where I just serve coffee and we kind of have...
We'll be there.
That kind of vibe.
We would love that.
Not even joking.
In fact, I've got to ask you this, Russell. One of our community members knew that you were coming on the podcast. I think she's a big fan and has asked, what is your current relationship status? I've got to ask that. I'm doing it on behalf of the community.
Outrageous.
Really?
Yeah, this is Danielle, who was very keen to know that answer. So I'm sorry that I'm using the podcast for Danielle's personal gain here, potentially.
Wow, I feel like such a heartthrob. Thank you, Danielle.
But you are.
Hey, look
you
at Freddie. Look at how mad Freddie is. Hey,
he's
sometimes
raging.
It breaks that way, Freddie. Sorry, bud. Jeez, guy's got two kids. He's happily married. Let someone else take the spotlight for a second, Freddie. Well, Danielle, I really appreciate that. I am unfortunately spoken for at the moment, Danielle, but thank you.
She's just switched off. She's gone.
She's gone.
That's it.
She's out of it.
Membership cancelled.
Lost one.
Oh, she's out. We lost her as a subscriber. Sorry, Danielle.
But Russell, seriously.
And sorry to all you other ladies out there. I mean, if I didn't get you with the pants shedding story.
What's not to love?
Well, it happens.
Apparently
I think the thing, like, honestly, I think so much of us think that things happen just to us and we go, I'm so weird, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. It's like sometimes it's a beautiful thing to think, oh, I'm so unique. But other times, you know, it helps to realize that you're not. Like, anything you're feeling, anything you're going through, I guarantee you, there's so many of us that think the same thing. That's what I loved about starting stand-up. It was like the island of misfit toys. You are in a green room with other comedians and you can admit the weirdest thing. You'd be like, hey man, sometimes I'm in Sainsbury's and I just break out in a sweat. And they're like, dude, me too. And you're like, oh, we're all insane. This is beautiful. And it immediately just like, if you just have someone to relate to, I guarantee you someone's going to find this podcast because they're going to wake up with a gin shit in their pants and they're going to say... And they're gonna feel so bad about themselves, and then they're gonna hear about the hundreds of times that Freddie Bennett has shit his pants. I believe it's hundreds. That's why
it absolutely is.
That's why he is so obsessed with whitening his teeth, because the bottom side is just, it's just a mess. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. I really enjoy it. You know, I don't get to people ask me about being sober, but I think it's almost, and this is a beautiful thing for people who get sober, there was a time in my life where I was known as the drunk guy, and then you go so long sober that you completely reinvent yourself. People that know me today have a hard time believing that I ever drank, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's been everything I hope this podcast would be and more. I think all of us would agree with that. Russell, it's been epic. Please, can we talk further offline about the prospect of afternoon comedy clubs with coffee and tea and cake? I think it would be incredible. Our community is going to be so up for this. And yeah, we've got to make it happen. It would be just amazing. Before you go, Russell, just remind people where they can find out more about what you do and where can people come and see you. Should they want a lol or two with yourself?
Yes. So if you go on my Instagram at Russell Hicks with an extra S at the end, I post all kinds of clips. That's a good way to keep up with me. My mailing list is where and that's at russellhicks.co.uk. I post all of my comedy club dates for the week there. It's like I post my solo shows through like Instagram and stuff. But if you just want to see me in a club, I throw those through the mailing list. And TikTok is a good place to see a ton of clips. If you want to get a vibe for what I do on stage, I improvise a lot. Sober improvisation. Totally clear-minded. So I would say those three places are the spots to be if you want to find out more. And yeah, afternoon coffee comedy clubs are coming at you. We'll do it.
There we go. Amazing.
Amazing. Love it.